In the search for diverse places, the Federal Reserve would not be your first stop. I'm David Brancaccio. First, with the government's official gauges of hiring and unemployment due Friday morning, there's word this morning the payroll processing company ADP, along with Moody's Analytics, has its own count of payrolls, and for the month just ended, it's come in twice as strong as forecast. Let's consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Hi, Susan.
Good morning.
All right. This was from the month of Omicron. Looks pretty strong.
Absolutely. 807,000 jobs added. Estimates were for 410,000. That's a huge difference. Now, remember that the data came out this morning. That is private payroll. So we're waiting to see how government data looks. That'll be released this Friday. That number, though, is very, very strong. And even if there's some margin of error to it, it gives the market confidence that people are going back to work, the economy is getting back on track, and Omicron isn't providing enough of a deterrent to the economic recovery.
Yeah, but one note of caution, though, this ADP survey was concentrated in the middle of December. That's about 2.5 weeks into the Omicron headlines, but it's before we really saw the new spike in cases that as we approach Christmas. That said, it'll be something for the Federal Reserve to digest. Later today, we'll get the minutes of their last meeting. You'll be watching.
Absolutely. Those minutes are going to continue to show the Fed's pivot. And they talked about this post last meeting, that they are reducing the support to the economy and putting themselves in a position where they're ready to raise interest rates in 2022, perhaps sooner than market participants expected. So this definitely supports their view and their stance on that. The minutes will give the market further detail into how they're thinking about that positioning going forward.
So interest rate increases sometime this year. I mean, if this payroll data is borne out on Friday by the official government data, do you think it could bring that interest rate hike sooner?
Yes, and the market is anticipating that. We're seeing 10-year yields, interest rates go up in the market, and that is because investors are anticipating that the Fed is going to take action. With such strong economic data behind it, the Fed will be prepared to raise interest rates perhaps sooner than was previously expected because of the strong recovery in the economy.
Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Today, financial market participants have marked their calendars for the release of the nitty-gritty of the Federal Reserve's last policy meeting, and we'll scour these minutes for hints on the ramping down of stimulus and the timing of interest rate increases, given the inflation we're seeing. Meanwhile, published reports suggest that President Biden will nominate economist Philip Jefferson for a seat on the Fed's Board of Governors. Jefferson would be the fourth black person to serve as a Fed governor. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has some history.
The seven members of the Fed's Board of Governors are appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. There wasn't a black governor until 1966. There are also 12 regional Fed banks. Financial historian Peter Conti Brown says there wasn't a black regional bank president until Raphael Bostic became head of the Atlanta Fed in 2017.
At the Reserve Bank level, there have been two non-white presidents besides Raphael Bostic, both at the Minneapolis Fed, both South Asian.
Conti Brown says there's never been a Hispanic president at a regional Fed bank. Georgetown Law professor Chris Brummer says discrimination and racism are part of the problem, and there's too much emphasis on recruiting Ivy League economists who tend to be white men.
If you're intentionally creating a talent pool that is non-diverse, then you're probably going to end up with a non-diverse outcome.
Brummer says Wall Street could offer up more diverse candidates. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And we now know that for the first time in 90 years, GM, General Motors, was not the seller of the most vehicles in America. With the 2021 data now in, we can say that Toyota of Japan sold more than GM. Toyota had done a decent job stockpiling the microprocessors that go into cars and trucks, those chips that have been in short supply given pandemic distortions. There's news an online sports merchandise company called Fanatics is buying Topps Trading Card. tops the trading cards often with the chewing gum. The secondary market for trading cards grew by 170% last year amid the pandemic boredom. Marketplace's Matt Levin has that.
Ted Barker is senior sales executive at Beckett Media. It's like the Kelley Blue Book for trading cards.
The collector used to be a guy more my age.
He's 67, not the industry's target demo now. Manufacturers are marketing to younger consumers.
Millennials, with their hats on backwards and their backpacks full of cards and money.
Barker's bullish about 2022, but he says inflation could mean less disposable income going to trading cards than the baseball lockout could hurt. Nicole Colombo is president of online card exchange Alt. She says she's not concerned, and neither is Silicon Valley.
There's been a lot of startups in the space, a lot of mergers and acquisitions in the space, and I expect there's going to be a lot more.
Colombo points to more innovation. Think more trading card NFTs and tracking card sales on the blockchain. Maybe that baseball card gum will taste better in the metaverse. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
I was just reading the folks who started Topps began in the tobacco business, but their supply of Turkish tobacco ran into supply chain problems during the First World War. What to do? I know, let's try gum. An early fan favorite, bazooka gum from Topps, not with the trading cards, but with a little comic strip folded on. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.